The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A new study conducted by the National Maxillofacial Unit in St. James Hospital in Dublin has found that more than a third of people injured in e-scooter crashes in Ireland have drugs or drink or both in their system. As it stands, the law requires e-scooter users to be over 16 and to abide by a maximum speed limit of 20 kilometres per hour. But as the popularity of e-scooters rise, do we need to do more to regulate them and perhaps protect the users from harm? Joining me for more on this is Dr. Chris Luke, retired consultant in emergency medicine and host of the Irish Medical Lives podcast and, of course, a columnist as well. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
I bet you're not surprised.
No, not in the slightest. I think anybody who walks around the streets of our cities and towns will have seen very recently, probably this week, you know, some young fella on a pavement hurtling along at, 25, 35 miles an hour. I saw such a case while I was walking on the coast road in Clontarf just 2 days ago. No helmet, you know, clearly no consideration for anybody else on the pavement, and a huge risk of colliding with either a pedestrian or another vehicle. So I think most people will see that kind of behaviour all around them. And I know that legislation was introduced in May of last year to allow for over 16s to use them at a speed below 20, although they didn't, you know, stipulate that there should be, you know, helmets. And I would suggest that at the very least, helmets would be a useful way of preventing head and face injuries.
Yeah, there is no requirement to wear helmets. And I remember when we discussed helmets for cyclists on this program with Eamon Ryan, who is, of course, an avid cyclist and was in the cycling business, at least for a while. I'm not sure if he still has any involvement there. He was against it because he says things like city bikes, and I presume ultimately we'll have city scooters, which can be rented and so on, that in that kind of situation, people wouldn't use them if they were required to wear a helmet, because they mightn't be happy to take the rental helmet if one was offered for, you know, catching bugs from other people's scalps and all that kind of thing. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, I do think that laws have to have legitimacy. And I certainly was involved in a very vigorous debate about bicycle helmets. I had a significant accident myself on a bike, came off a bike a few years ago, and I did quite a lot of damage. And I'm convinced that a helmet saved my life, because I struck my head on, I torpedoed the pavement and hit my head just above the ear, which of course is the most delicate, the thinnest part of the skull. And I argued that I was grateful for the helmet, but I got a right pushback and backlash online. But I certainly think that for e-scooters, where you can actually tinker with the machinery and get your speeds up to 50, 60 kph, you know, there should really be a consideration for helmet use. I mean, I think it's a different discussion from cycling.
And the same would apply, presumably, to e-bikes, which can do fantastic speeds.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And, of course, we see a lot of, you know, delivery drivers hurtling around the streets late at night. And interestingly, since the legislation was introduced a year ago, we've seen more injuries. We've seen them drift towards later in the night, you know, between 7 p.m. and 6 a.m. So in the hours of darkness, by and large, and the average age of the victim is about 33. So, you know, I think we need to tweak. I mean, we always need to keep evaluating public health issues, public health prevention methods. And monitor them. And I think we need to think about,
I mean, one of the things that is certainly true is that people who would never get behind the wheel of the car might, when they're going to a neighbour's for a dinner party where they know they're going to skull a few, they take the scooter that's there in the shed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're drunk in charge of a scooter where they'd never decide to drive a car in the same condition.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, you know, it's also a cultural thing. I mean, you know, drink driving has become much less acceptable in Ireland and the UK over the last 30, 40 years. It's become a cultural thing. There's been a cultural, you know, reaction to the idea of drink driving. But e-scooters are a relatively new phenomenon on our roads.
Now, you know, the proponents of e-scooters, and e-scooters certainly have their uses, you know, that last kilometre where you might be forced taking public transport or even taking the private car, that there's still a distance deficit between your final destination and where you have to get off public transport or park the car. So take the e-scooter out of the boot to do that last K. That's kind of, you can see the usefulness of it. You're not allowed to take them on public transport for fear of batteries going on fire. So that kind of eliminates their use there as the last mile from the public transport. But the labelling that kind of thing active travel gets on my goat because it doesn't require any energy input whatsoever.
Yeah, it's a bit like trying to compare ordinary cycling with e-cycling, you know, electric bike cycling. They're very different activities. But I completely agree with you, Pat. I think that the e-scooters have a, you know, very substantial future in terms of reducing the congestion on our roads, in terms of enabling those, you know, small distances to be travelled in urban and suburban and rural, you know, situations. I just think we need to get our act together. And it's like every other aspect of human behaviour. We need to keep tweaking and putting a little bit of pressure on the users of the bike to get their act together.
This texter, and this is what you expect. I went on a cycling tour in Berlin 2 weeks ago. We were allowed to cycle on footpaths, on ordinary bicycles and on e-bikes, and we did not have to wear helmets. Also, helmets are not required in the Netherlands, and we were at times travelling at speed. And then I can offer you in the city of, I think it was Brisbane in Australia, when you rented an e-scooter, you also rented a helmet. But, you know, there will be different rules in different jurisdictions. But going back to the wearing of the helmet, I mean, looking at the Camogie yesterday, the young women were wearing very significant head protection, the idea being if they're hit by a Hurley, the helmet will take the energy. It'll probably crack, it'll probably break if the blow is hard enough, but that prevents the skull from absorbing that energy. And that's what
absolutely
a helmet does.
And those helmets had a very significant beneficial effect in hurling and Camogie. In the same way as goggles can help prevent catastrophic eye injuries when you're playing squash. So, you know, e-scooters are relatively new. I think people should get used to the idea that you're very exposed when you're on an e-scooter if you hit something or hit the pavement. And the bit that matters most when you hit somebody or something is your head. And the number of significant head injuries is steadily rising. In places like Queensland, you know, where they're a bit more Irish than in Germany, because, you know, I've worked as a student in Germany and Holland and so on, and there are different people there. They're used to, it's the same in Denmark, you know, there's huge numbers of people on bikes and on e-scooters and so on, but they're so used to behaving in a more courteous or considerate way, and they have much better infrastructure. They're just used to cycling and scootering in a more considerable way.
Yeah, I mean, in continental Europe, not in every part of it, but certainly in the northern parts, you will see someone stopped at a pedestrian crossing. There won't be any sign of a vehicle coming in any direction, and they'll wait for the little green man. Now, in Ireland, that doesn't happen. We don't wait for the little green man.
Yeah, waiting is for losers,
We just don't do it. Some more of the text coming in. The young people on those scooters at night, all dressed in black, no light. I've gotten so many frights when they've just appeared in front of me on the road, and that is another problem. Black is seemingly the de rigueur colour for everybody. In Bray, we've a young man riding around on an electric scrambler getting up to 80 to 100 kilometres per hour, wearing a ski mask, no helmet, sometimes on the wrong side of the road. I've written to the Gardaí, local TDs, nothing done. Even saw him on the wrong side of the N11 riding against the traffic, I presume in the hard shoulder. What do you do when local law and elected officials do absolutely nothing?
Yeah, well, that's a very valid point. I mean, I've come to I've had a near miss myself with a scrambler on the banks of the Shure when I was in Clonmel not long ago. Similar situation to youngsters, you know, with face masks and, you know, whatever. And, you know, we have had a recent tragedy with a scrambler hitting an elderly person on the pavement. So, yeah, it's the same sort of thing. And unfortunately, there does seem to be a significantly greater element of criminality. You know, it's a bit like the old idea of there's a fellow who's either on his way to or from trouble. And there's a certain, it seems to be a greater cohort of users of e-scooters are involved in nefarious activity than on bikes during daylight.
I mean, they're used for drug transportation and the like.
Absolutely. And
twice,
getaways.
Another text. Twice last week I was driving and an e-bike was traveling beside me at 60 kilometres per hour. no safety gear or helmet. It's crazy that someone would go that fast with no protection. And, you know, often we do this. I do it when I'm in my car and someone's beside me on a scooter. I try to figure out what speed they are doing. And often they are going in excess of the 50-kilometer speed limit, which is in force at that point, because they pass you on the inside and you're observing the law. We need out-of-town Gardaí dressed undercover to tackle illegal scooter use, enforce the law. It's simple, and that's a lot of people making the point that unless there's enforcement, nothing will actually happen. Drink driving rules, do they not apply to cycling and scooter and walking? I think they do, absolutely. I agree that e-scooter bikes are not active travel. They need to be taxed and insured if used on our roads. Helmets and high-vis should be absolutely compulsory. And that is the question that we seem to be dodging. If they can go as fast as a 50cc motorbike, for example, or even a higher caliber bike, whether they're an e-bike or a scooter, surely they should have the same level of responsibilities that attach to those motorised vehicles.
I certainly agree with that. And very often the ones who are at the greatest risk of harm to themselves or others are the ones who've tinkered with the machine and are able to get up to those sort of speeds of 50, 60, 70 kph. And I agree with you. I mean, if you're regularly doing speeds above 20, 25, you should be treated as a motorised vehicle where other motorised vehicles are.
Yeah, and this one here from Martin. Having once slapped my skull off the road, I think I'll always take the helmet option on a bike. Took me a few seconds to come round properly. In reality, a collision with a car and I'd be of limited use. There needs to be some training and regulation for those e-bikes, almost motorbikes as they are, says Martin. Anyway, Chris, Luke, thank you very much for your contribution. Dr. Chris Luke, who is a retired consultant in emergency medicine and host of the Irish Medical Lives podcast and a columnist. Well, now it's time for a great summer competition from our programme sponsors, Aviva, to mark the fact that so many Irish families are currently motoring around this beautiful island of ours on their summer holidays. And you can get on the road today with Aviva Car Insurance. Check it all out at aviva.ie. Now, it's a great prize. Every day this week, we have a Blue Book voucher worth €1,400 for one of our listeners. And our to enter, it's an interesting competition this week. We're going to test your car knowledge. We have a question from the driver theory test for you. What is the recommended minimum stopping distance for a car travelling at 50 kilometres an hour on a dry road? Okay, car travelling at 50 kilometres an hour on a dry road, what is the recommended minimum stopping distance that you must allow? If you know the answer, text the word trip with your answer name to us now on 53106 at a cost of 30 cent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.